When reflecting on the betrayals which have afflicted the Kurdish people down the ages, it has become a foreign correspondent's cliché to invoke the quip that the Kurds have no friends but the mountains. It is, regrettably, one of those clichés which has become a cliché because it is true. This week, that Kurdish proverb has been underpinning yet another rash of rueful op-eds. On Sunday night, the White House announced that US President Donald Trump had spoken to Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan and agreed that US forces operating in northern Syria would stand aside in the event of Turkey's long-threatened invasion of the area.
We've been in Syria for many years. You know, Syria was supposed to be a short-term hit, just a very short-term hit, and we were supposed to be in and out. That was many, many years ago.
Northern Syria is probably not a helpful way of thinking about the region concerned. Though it is geographically the north of Syria, it is practically Kurdish. The area of Syria along the border with Turkey has been controlled for some while by a Syrian Kurdish militia called the YPG. The YPG have been a key ally of the US-led coalition fighting Islamic State. Turkey, however, considers the YPG terrorists, allies of the PKK, a largely Turkey-based Kurdish group who have battled Turkey for decades. Turkey also wants to repatriate the 2 million Syrian refugees it is currently hosting to the territory the YPG hold. Trump now seems, with little consultation with anybody but Erdogan, to have waved Turkey in. One Syrian Kurdish official, quoted by NBC News, said, "The Americans are traitors. They have abandoned us to a Turkish massacre." If the YPG, and Kurds in general, thought their heroics in helping to tackle Islamic State would be some guarantee of American support in future, they were reckoning without two things. One, obviously, is the impulsiveness of Donald Trump, who has learned what little he understands of the Middle East from Fox News, which is worse than not knowing anything at all. The other is a long history, almost an ingrained habit, of abandonment of the Kurds by those who profess to admire and respect them and promise to protect them.
They fought with us. They fought with us. They died with us. They died. We lost tens of thousands of Kurds died fighting ISIS. They died for us and with us and for themselves, but they're great people.
Trump claims that he has not betrayed the Kurds. Among a series of stable, hinged, and mentored tweets on the subject, he has exclaimed that in no way have we abandoned the Kurds, who are special people and wonderful fighters. Kurds will have ample reason for thinking that this is about half right. The modern history of selling the Kurds out dates back to the 1920s, when the Kurds hoped the dismemberment of the Ottoman Empire would at last permit them a state of their own. The 1920 Treaty of Sèvres promised one, in fact. However, Western powers decided they cared less about this than they did about keeping the new Turkish Republic on board, and the fledgling Kurdistan was quietly snuffed out by the 1923 Treaty of Lausanne. Throughout the 1960s and 1970s, the nationalist aspirations of Iraqi Kurds were encouraged by the West when there was a government in Baghdad that the West found disagreeable, and ignored when there was an Iraqi ruler the West felt it could deal with. In the 1980s, the West shrugged as Saddam Hussein waged a campaign of genocide against the Kurds, including the use of chemical weapons. In the early 1990s, following Gulf War I, the Kurds were enjoined by President George H.W. Bush to rise against Saddam. When they did, little help was forthcoming, and the West continued to arm Turkey as its brutal war with the PKK continued. And when the United States removed Saddam in 2003, Iraq's Kurds, who had eventually been protected to some extent by a US-imposed no-fly zone, were the section of Iraq who did as it was hoped all Iraq would do, embraced the opportunity and built a more or less functional and Western-friendly society. There is indeed an argument that the West has no better friends or more reliable allies in the entire Middle East than the stateless Kurds. As regards why Trump has done this, there is the eternal rhetorical response. Why does Trump do anything? Assorted conspiracy theories are in play pertaining to Trump's property interests in Istanbul, his eternal desire to please Russian President Vladimir Putin for some reason, and so forth. But there is a simpler and likelier explanation. Trump is now firmly in re-election mode. He probably understands that his best chance of fluking a second term is to go to the people buoyed by a healthy economy and unburdened by American military involvement in countries his base couldn't point to on a map. It's hard luck for the Kurds, of course, but then it usually is. For Monocle 24, I'm Andrew Muller.